In the 2026-27 school year, Florida schools will begin teaching the history of communism as part of the curriculum required under Florida Senate Bill 1264. I'm Bill Mick. Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. For those of us who grew up or served in the military during the Cold War, this education was all around us. It seems odd that this law would even become necessary, yet apparently it has. We're seeing younger voting demographics embracing socialist or communist philosophies and disparage capitalism to the point that New York City and Seattle have elected democratic socialists to be mayors of their cities. To explore the history of communism with us this week, Lawrence F. Sanford, a senior analyst with the American Security Council Foundation, here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. We pick it up in moments, and you can find our podcasts at BillMick.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Ugh, PB&J again. It's the third time this week.
Moms, packing lunch shouldn't be stressful. FreshFromFlorida.com has plenty of quick, delicious lunch and snack ideas to help freshen up lunchtime. Just look for the sunny Fresh From Florida logo where you shop for locally grown, in-season fruits and veggies to please even the pickiest eater.
PB&J again. With Florida strawberries? Thanks, Mom!
Packing lunches has never been easier. Fresh From Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
On the road, there's a thin line between safety and tragedy. Don't cross it. When you see any vehicle parked on the side of the road with emergency or hazard lights flashing, move over a lane or slow down to 20 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. That includes visible signage, emergency flares, even a disabled vehicle with a flat tire. Please give law enforcement, first responders, service and utility professionals, and fellow drivers the space they need. Move over, Florida. It's the law. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Nice to have you this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick, joined by Larry Sanford. He is with the American Security Council Foundation. He's a senior analyst there. Larry, thanks for taking the time and sharing it with us here today.
My pleasure.
Let's start with you. Let's talk about your background, what got you to where you are, and your education and the like, and your interest in what's going on here.
Well, as you will soon listen to the fact that I'm from Boston, so you'll be able to know I'm from the Boston area.
Okay, very good.
And I grew up in that area, went to college at Boston College, and then joined the Navy.
Okay.
And this was back in 1963, so I went through Officer Candidate School and had the great fortune to be assigned to a destroyer in Yokosuka, Japan. And I was a communications officer, and we went all over Asia, Philippines, Okinawa, Korea, Hong Kong. And then went to Africa and Australia on the way home. We were reassigned out of Yokosuka after a year and a half to San Diego, and we were down into the Gulf of Tonkin to work with the carrier task force on the way to Australia en route to San Diego. And when we were in the Gulf of Tonkin, we were relieved on station by the Maddox, which is another destroyer. And so we proceeded onward to Australia, and in Sydney Harbor, as a communications officer, we've got messages that the Maddox, the ship that had relieved us on station, had been fired upon by the North Vietnamese. And the reports that we saw indicated that they saw flashes of light. On radar, they saw fast approaching vehicles. But there was no physical damage done to the ship. There was no physical sightings of the ships, so-called ships, approaching. And I still remember in the wardroom, discussing the fact that we had been in the same spot down there in the Gulf, and that radar does funny things. You could have mountains bounce the signals off, so you could have boats or ships 60 miles away appear to be 20 miles away.
Okay.
And the lightning could easily account for the flashes of light they saw. But the captain did his duty, of the Maddox did his duty. He reported what had happened, and they used that excuse for the Gulf of Tonkin resolution to ramp up the Vietnam War. It was such a phony incident to anyone.
Wow.
And so anyways, we proceeded on to San Diego, did a couple more years in the Navy, and I was single then, had a great time in the Navy. I really enjoyed it. And after that, I went to Babson College to get my MBA. International business had always intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
And even at Boston College, the only companies I interviewed were companies that were international. And so, for example, after college, I went to work in New York City for 6 months for IBM World Trade, which is the World Trade Organization.
Okay.
So that part of my life has been, I was always an avid reader. History, international stuff interested me. And I love Japan. I used to wander all over the place, climb Mount Fuji and so forth. So after the Navy, I got my MBA, and I wanted to stay in the world of international business. And I saw an ad, CIA. I said, gee, they're international. So
I guess they are, yeah.
I said, so I applied. And I was accepted into the career training program and went through the farm and was on the Taiwan desk after the farm. And then they asked me to go out overseas as a businessman, which I did. And I decided that wasn't for me, and I came back to Boston, worked for an international company, and then eventually I started my own business. But in the meantime, what I'm trying to build up is I still paid attention. I was involved in local politics. I read a lot still.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to do that, and I retired. I sold my business, and my daughter moved to Florida. And so my wife and I, we followed her down to Melbourne. And I joined an organization called AFIO, Association of Former Intelligence Officers.
Okay.
And we meet quarterly over in the Atlantic. And I met the president of the American Security Council. And he was intrigued by the fact that I worked for the CIA. And I said, you know, I was only there 4 years. He said, doesn't matter. You work for the CIA. I said, okay. He said, why don't you come on down and join the organization? And so I went down there for a couple of days a week. And I've been doing that ever since.
We'll talk about what that organization is, the work it does, and how it applies to Florida schools and teaching about communism this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this season's hottest accessory hit shelves decades ago and has been flying off them ever since. It's functional, it's attractive, and it's the smart choice. Life jackets. Seen here on the model, life jackets complement any figure and bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the waters.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket anytime you're out on the water. Visit wearitflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Continuing on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick, along with Larry Sanford, who's the senior analyst with the American Security Council Foundation. What a background you've got, Larry, and I guess that CIA experience opened a door or two, including this one. Tell us about the American Security Council Foundation and what it does.
Delighted. American Security Council Foundation was founded in 1958 by businessmen and former FBI agents to counter communism. In 1958, you know, communism was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And through the 50s and 60s and 70s, they gradually built up one of the great lobbying firms, I wouldn't say think tanks, in Washington, D.C. They were one of the first to do direct mailing and raise significant amount of money through direct mailings and built up leadership. So you had leaders of major corporations, leaders in Congress, all on board the program with the American Security Council. And their motto was peace through strength. So they always were firm advocates of building up military and economic strength. Our motto is peace through strength, but our mission is to educate and engage Americans on issues of national security, economic security, and moral leadership. And that sort of segues into our program that we now have called American History Live, which goes into classrooms and teaches children the founding of America, namely 1776. So we have a unique program that goes into the classroom where on the computer we have Benjamin Franklin, Abigail Adams, and we have voice actors that interact with the students. It's quite.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
It's a quite unique program. So anyways, back in the 80s with Reagan, I was going to say,
this all sounds very Reagan-esque.
Yeah, but so back in the 80s, we were really players in Washington, D.C. As a matter of fact, our current president received a Gold Eagle Award from Reagan. And after the fall of the Berlin Wall, interest in communism, well, we won the war, no sense of continuing. So what had been an organization with all sorts of congressmen and business leaders sort of withered away. And Dr. Fisher lived in Sebastian, so he moved the operation down, downsized it, and here we are. And they got involved in energy independence. And I just have to say for the last 10 years we've been trying, and we've had mixed results, but we still believe in the cause, on American History Live in addition to our national security. So, for example, I get involved in podcasts. I write papers. I give speeches, but primarily in national security issues, China, and things like that. But we have a separate program, the American History Live, which is headed up by a woman named Shala Frederick. And she does a great job in programming the scenario used in the classroom. So if we're in a classroom, the kids see on the screen Abigail Adams. It's a character. It moves.
Right.
It's sort of like a cartoonish kind of character. And the kids can ask questions. And back at our studio or our voice actors, they could be in Melbourne. Actually, we have one that lives in Melbourne. They pretend to be Abigail Adams or Prince Hall and ask questions on history regarding the American Revolutionary period. So it's well received. We have a difficult time getting traction in the public schools. We seem to be having more success with homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. And we're working on charter schools. The public schools are really difficult, but we're hoping with this passage of the law in Florida that communism is required teaching, that maybe we'll be able to find a niche in that type in that area.
Senate Bill 1264 passed last year, goes into effect the coming school year, 26-27. You know, I grew up as a Cold War era kid, and there was no question. We were taught patriotism. They sold U.S. savings bonds in our classrooms, and there was no doubt that socialism, communism, bad things for the people in the world who experienced it, and that we had a great system here in this country. Where did that start falling apart for our kids to the point they're at today?
Well, of course, you know, the Marxists started coming into the U.S. In the 30s with the German school coming to Columbia. They taught at Columbia. And the Marxists basically permeated. We're influential in the government in World War II, and the McCarthy hearings. I mean, McCarthy was sort of a as a personality, not the kind of guy I'd like, but he certainly struck a nerve in the fact that there was a lot of communist penetration in the government,
sure.
Whitaker Chambers and so forth. So I think it all started there, but I think it really blossomed in the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War poisoned a lot of things, and so a lot of men in particular that wanted to avoid the draft became teachers. And the teaching educational system has been basically taken over by Marxists. They may not say they are, but many schools have,
we talk education very regularly on my local show and the ills that have befallen our kids and the creation of the organization Moms for Liberty going in and trying to correct some of those things that have been, it seems to have taken education out of education and turned it into, I don't really like the word, but indoctrination. And there's a lot of that that goes on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it goes back to the Vietnam War when anti-war protesters and Marxism really started making inroads into the education, especially at the university level, so the teachers became indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing the fruits of the lack of patriotism, what it's the all-time low amongst our youth. And the Progressive Party, one could almost argue, is Marxist. So they want more government, and they want to control your thoughts. I think, to me, one of the defining things...
It seems like it was a slow creep.
It is. I agree.
I mean, I was in elementary school from 65 on and moved into junior high and high school in the 70s, and we didn't notice it at all, and we still had that generation of teachers, at least in my community. They grew up where I did. They grew up with my parents. They were as much a part of our community as anything else, and we were very consistently taught and disciplined throughout that period. We lost that along the way somewhere.
And as you said, it was gradual. It's the classic frog in the pot. And the only way to correct it is to expose it. I would argue that the public teachers' unions are progressive, and they need to be curtailed or broken up, or people avoid the public schools and go to charter schools, home schools, independent schools, and get rid of tenure.
Mm-hmm. I can see where that argument carries a lot of water. You mentioned Reagan and the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of the Soviet Union. Almost seems like Vladimir Putin wants to bring the band back together a little bit with what's going on in Eastern Europe today.
Yes.
I would imagine you folks take a pretty good hard look at that in what you do.
Yes, I've written a number of papers on that. As a matter of fact, I'm working on another paper addressing the Ukraine thing. And as far as Trump has done some good things, but I must say I don't understand his position in Ukraine. If Russia can bomb Ukrainian cities, why don't we give Ukraine the abilities to bomb Russian cities? I'm a firm believer in reciprocity and, the Russian threats of nuclear.
Yeah. Well, again, the Reagan mantra of peace through strength.
Yeah, precisely.
And exhibiting that strength wasn't necessary.
Yeah. And Ukraine has shown remarkable ability to adapt and resist the Russian invasion. And to me, it goes back to pre-World War II, right? The Germans taking over the Sudetenland, saying, well, it's part of our history. It's part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia is using the same thing in the Donetsk region, that at one time it was part of Russia and therefore it should return to Russia. Well, maybe they shouldn't use force to take it over. Let's make a deal. And, of course, as you know, and one of the things I'd be really concerned if I were a Ukrainian is that back in 93, 94, Ukraine gave up nuclear weapons and signed a deal with Russia, England, the U.S. to protect Ukrainian integrity, and we'll give up the nuclear weapons. And, of course, that particular treaty, or wasn't a treaty, but agreement, wasn't worth the paper it was written on.
Let's bring this back into the realm of schools and what we're going to be doing in Florida. What do you guys see that we need to bring back into the education realm? What's going to help turn this tide that kids just aren't seeing what's going on here as far as communism and socialism goes?
Our biggest area is that teachers work very hard, and they have many, many things to do, and among them are discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And in your day, discipline wasn't an issue, was it, at school?
No, we had coaches and principals with paddles with holes drilled in them that you heard whistling through before somebody felt it.
Oh, I didn't have that, but I don't remember discipline being an issue. But you can't learn if you don't have a disciplined environment in which to learn. And so things have changed. I had three sisters. I have three sisters. And they all were teachers. And they all said the same thing. At parent-teachers night, the only parents we see are the kids that are doing good. The kids that aren't doing good, we just don't see
them. So you've got disengaged parents as part of the problem.
That is the real, yeah. And, of course, we have the whole social milieu now of family breakdown and disintegration. So it's all, as you say, gradual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true. So discipline, we bring it back. What about on the education realm itself? The Florida law is mandating teaching the history of communism. What would you put into that mix if you were going to teach that class?
Teaching the dangers of... The first thing you teach is the history. I mean, over 100 million, 150 million, who the heck knows, people were killed by communists in the 1900s. When Russia took over, was taken over by the Bolsheviks, which became the Communist Party, they had the Ukraine famine where millions died, forced to die because Russia was taking the grain from the Ukrainians. We had the political purges where, as Beria, it was famously said, show me the man and I'll find the crime. And they got involved in a treaty with the Nazis to divide up Poland, and that was the that was the beginning of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the World War II casualties. We had the purges in Russia. We had the starvation in the Ukraine. We had the gulags, where Solzhenitsyn wrote some great books about the gulags and the terrible, the Inner Circle, and some of the other books he wrote. And, of course, Russia was, the Soviet Union, was a big supporter of Communist China. And we end up now with Communist China carrying the flag of Marxism, and the Soviet Union basically is a Slavic dictatorship. I think the world is evolving into civilization kind of blocks, and the Russian civilization is definitely distinct from Western civilization, and the Russian civilization thinks they're superior and the West is corrupt, and we're their enemies. So, and of course, Chinese civilization is another plateau, Indian civilization. So,
would you tie North Korea in with China at that point?
Yeah, I think. I mean, North Korea wouldn't exist without China.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How it applies to Florida education, what can Florida do, and how do we make it better? Our focus this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us on the Florida News Network.
On the road, there's a thin line between safety and tragedy. Don't cross it. When you see any vehicle parked on the side of the road with emergency or hazard lights flashing, move over a lane or slow down to 20 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. That includes visible signage, emergency flares, even a disabled vehicle with a flat tire. Please give law enforcement, first responders, service and utility professionals, and fellow drivers the space they need. Move over, Florida. It's the law. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Continuing with you this weekend on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick, along with Larry Sanford, who is with the American Security Council Foundation. And Florida will be instituting education on communism, the history thereof, in the 26-27 school year. We're talking about what we need to do in order to teach that, teach it properly. And wasn't a problem in my generation, and it started during that period of time, Larry, as you said. How many generations have we lost with that patriotism fervor that we used to get in schools?
It seems like each generation gets less and less patriotic. And I can assure you, in China, the number one thing they teach in their schools is how great communist China is, Chairman Mao was leading China to be unified, and how great the Communist Party is. And I'm not saying we have to indoctrinate the children, but we should stop negating our history, and which is kind of sad. It might go back to Howard Zinn in his American history. He was a leading communist. He was a professor at Boston University, so I've been aware of that guy. But he wrote the best-selling book, that's the most popular book in a school system, People's History of the United States. And all it did was bring up, not all, but it primarily brought the negative aspects of American civilization. And
we've stopped talking about American exceptionalism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I define American civilization as being a civilization based on the individual. Totalitarian organizations like Marxism and Islamism, totalitarian. Mm-hmm. The people exist for the organizations. They exist for Islam. They exist for Marxism. In America, the government exists for the people. That's the huge difference. In American civilization, it's the individual that matters, not the collective.
Yet we seem to have a skewed view of that in this country by many who are in government today.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so the only way to do that is to start educating people on the fact that the American civilization is worth defending, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And each individual is endowed by God with certain unalienable rights. And that's being an issue.
We'll talk those specifics in just a minute. But let's say we can be successful with this start of teaching the history of communism in Florida, and we're implementing a program that's going to try to bring all of this back. It was a gradual process to get here. How long will it take to get it back?
I have no idea. But
it would be nice to have a number, wouldn't it?
It would, but life isn't like that, at least not in my world. And my feeling on these things is, and we talk about this, that sometimes it's overwhelming the way the world seems to be operating. And,
sure.
And we at American Security say, hey, we know it's dark out there, but it's better to light one candle at a time and then to curse the darkness. So we keep on trying to light the candles and to get people aware of the situations in the world and in America as far as security issues are concerned and education.
If we call this teaching of the history of communism a starting point here in Florida, what else do we add to that as we go on? What are we looking to do, and how do we accomplish that goal?
I must admit I hadn't thought too much about that. My main concern was the American History Live aspect of getting into the schools.
Right.
But I think the teachers' unions are a huge problem.
I wouldn't disagree with that, and we talk about that very frequently on my local show as well.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, just recently, a week or so before Christmas, we had an extensive conversation one day about creating American socialists. And it seems like education is geared in that direction. In your mind, does it start at the higher education echelons where teachers are being taught?
Yeah. And for example, look at the millions of dollars that the teachers' unions raise with dues. Mm-hmm. And where does these monies go? Not back to teachers or kids. Most of it goes to the progressive agenda in government to elect officials.
I was listening to a talk show a few days ago, and the guest on the show was saying that these teachers' unions are not about education. They're not about benefits for teachers and wages and working conditions. They're about political causes, and that's where those dues dollars go.
Yeah. And so that's a big issue as far as that. And so I guess it gets right back to we have met the enemy and there's us. I mean, we got to elect the right people. And the school boards, for example, conservative businessmen, do they run for school boards? No, they don't have the time or the energy. And who runs for school boards? People who believe in the education.
Right. And the occasional parents who get energized say that some change needs to come.
Yeah, and Moms for Liberty showed that it can be done.
They most certainly have, and their co-founder, Tina Deskovich, is a dear friend, and they have done amazing work celebrating their fifth year right now, which is outstanding. They've come so far and become such a force in a short period of time. I think they're affecting change. What about change? I think you have to change higher education. If you're going to change what teachers are doing, you're going to have to change how they're taught to teach. We talked about that recently, too. How possible is that, or how tough is it going to be?
I'm not necessarily endorsing this, but I've read articles where abolishing teachers' colleges might not be a bad idea. Make sure that the teacher that wants to teach English majors in English in a liberal arts major or university, and the education techniques of classroom can be taught as a minor and just get rid of...
That makes sense.
Get rid of the whole education, because the education schools just teach systems and not thought.
Well, and again, we talked this very recently on my local show, that what's being taught in these teacher colleges is philosophies of politics, as opposed to kids are coming out of school, 50% of them may be proficient in math, maybe not. Same thing with English and language arts, that somehow we've lost the basics and kids aren't learning what they need to know to grow their own education down the road. If you can't read, if you can't do the math, you're not going to be able to understand that. And getting focused back on those fundamental things. You want to be a better basketball player, a better baseball player, a better football player. You focus on fundamentals till you get them right.
Yeah. And I don't believe in racial superiority. I think it's a cultural thing.
Absolutely.
And many a private school or even a public school teachers have shown that even the ghetto kids, the kids in the low-income area, are just as bright and can achieve just as much as the ones from the white, well-to-do suburbs. So it's not a racial thing, in my opinion. It's a cultural thing. And the fact that the administration and the teachers in these lower-income areas just don't want to fight the battle. They have to fight the battle.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. Let's say we gave Larry Sanford the chance to say, here's the curriculum, here's what we want to do. Where would you start this process of re-educating teachers and then re-educating our kids?
Well, one of the things they talk about is testing. Testing is a pain in the neck to teachers. Teachers fight it, but it also forces them to measure their progress with the students. And so, like everything else, you can overdo testing. But if you don't have testing, you can't measure the progress. And a good example is the University of California, San Diego, just recently came out and said something like one-third of our students, this is college now, entries, can't do fifth-grade math.
Wow.
And the reason it happened is California said that they had to get rid of the standard testing. So remember the old standard testing you had to take for getting into college?
Sure.
You don't need it anymore. So, and then they have quotas for taking kids from every public school in California. Every public school in California. And regardless of that school's performance, but if you're in the top 5 or 10% of that school, you're going to be accepted regardless of what happened.
The good news is I hear the ACT and SAT tests are coming back where colleges have gone away from them for a few years. I think we saw in the state of Florida in the early 2000s, in the Jeb Bush administration, an overemphasis with the FCAT test. And it was the be-all and end-all of education. You didn't pass that test as a junior. You didn't graduate as a senior. My thought was, and I wasn't bashful about saying it, if that test as a junior determines whether you graduate or not, why have a senior year?
Yeah.
Put them out of school. Move on. Get them to college. Let's go. So that's been reformed a little bit. I think we've had some reasonable adjustment to the testing, and maybe we get there. Given a chance to teach what you would teach to these kids, what would you teach?
Well, I teach about the founding of America being an exceptional country. Mm-hmm. It was founded on the basis of the Declaration of Independence, and I point that out. And yeah, there's some sins in our system.
Sure.
I don't have to elaborate too much on that one. We all know what they are, the slavery and some of the treatments we did with people. But one of the things that's different now is when we had immigrants, and we're all children of immigrants, mine, the Irish that came over in the potato famine, and there was no welfare system, so they better accumulate and work. Now we have immigrants coming in that don't work on this, live off of the welfare system, mm-hmm. don't even speak English. So I'd say one of the first things I do as a leader is I'd make English the mandatory language, and I wouldn't have all this stuff written in foreign language and government documents or anything. I mean, kids will learn English.
They will, and especially if they want to thrive in a society here. And we want immigrants to thrive. We want them to come legally. We want them to thrive and be a contributing part of what we're doing in the country. We're talking education, communism, our kids, and the future of America. It's this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Find our podcasts at BillMick.com, right at the top of the page.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Call 800-906-9086. That's 800-906-9086. Again, 800-906-9086. That's 800-906-9086.
From scenic lakes and rivers to picturesque bays, Florida has many beautiful waterways that are perfect for exploring by canoe. But even when paddling on calm water, it's important to be prepared for the journey, regardless of your experience level. Be sure you're physically ready for the effort, and always wear your life jacket. Before you go, know your limits. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Sunit mosquito dunks kill mosquito larvae in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and more. Just drop a dunk in any area of standing water and get up to 30 days of control. For larger areas of standing water, use mosquito bits. Both are EPA approved, non-toxic to people, pets, and wildlife, but deadly to mosquitoes. Fight the bite with mosquito dunks and bits. Find them at your local garden or hardware store, or order online at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Bill Meck back with you on the Florida Roundtable. Larry Sanford is with us. He is with the American Security Council Foundation. As we talk Florida education coming up in the 26-27 school year, the history of communism will be required to be taught. Larry's got some experience with that, not as a communist, somebody who fought it, from a CIA career to being an advocate for this country and peace through strength, as we've talked. As we put a curriculum together for these kids, it's going to be, here's what communism's done around the globe. I think you detailed that really well earlier in the show. Who puts this curriculum together? How's it going to come together? And are we going to be able to trust what we're putting in front of these kids?
Well, right now the state is working on putting together the curriculum with input from the public. And we participate in some of that input. To me, you have to teach what communism is versus what America stands for. And first of all, with communism, it's a socialist dictatorship that takes control of everything. And so you contrast that with American civilization of private property. Without private property, you don't have individual freedom. You
right.
have to have freedom with private property. And you have to have a rule of law. And in totalitarian organizations, since the citizen is subject to the state without laws, the state can control the lives. Whereas in America, we have rules of law that protect the individual rights.
Mm-hmm.
And our government is a mark of genius, where we have the three branches of government. And as you know, many students don't know the three branches, and they don't even know the Houses of Congress, of Representatives versus the Senate, the Supreme Court. So
I think there are some in those positions that don't understand the separation either. That's just me, though.
Yeah. And so, again, you have the communism system where the state tells you everything and there's no balance of power. The party, the Communist Party, and that's true in China, too. The Communist Party rules China, and they represent roughly 8 or 9% of the population. So there's 100 million Chinese that are Communist Party members. And, again, the Communist Party dictates what happens.
Mm-hmm. If this program is going to be successful, and it starts with teaching the history of communism in Florida schools, how do you define the success on the other end? What would you look for as signs that they're being successful?
I guess you can measure by polling, and I'm always a little leery of polling.
Depends on who's asking the question and how they ask it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And so, but certainly the polling questions that you're getting now are, patriotism is under 50% among the young. So if you gradually see an increase, I'd say you're making progress. Because anybody, in my opinion, that thinks socialism is the answer hasn't read a history book. There has never been government-owned program like supermarkets or rent control. Look at the disaster New York has. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons the rents are so high in New York is they have rent control, so there's thousands of apartments in New York City. They're not for rent because the landlords can't make enough money from rent to maintain the property. So they say, we'll just leave them empty. We're better off having them empty.
Wow, that's sad. And yet, we've seen New York. We've seen Seattle. We see running in Washington, D.C., Democratic Socialist, elected in New York and Seattle, potentially elected in our nation's capital. And it would seem antithetical to everything I grew up believing this country was about.
And it's sort of a contradiction, democratic, because socialism
yeah.
isn't, it's sort of like the Democratic Republic of East Germany, right?
Right.
Or North Korea. They aren't democratic and they're not republics. So,
right.
So democratic socialism, to me, is a contradiction of terms.
I had one caller to my local show screaming at me because I just started referring to Zoran Mamdani as the commie. And,
yeah.
and oh, he's a democratic socialist. Okay. Something else that you've hit on, though, and we do on my local show every Tuesday. I've got a friend named Dave Bowman. We've done radio together since 2006. And Dave does a segment with me every week called Dave Does History. We're doing Liberty 250 right now, and we're talking about the grievances in the Declaration of Independence, how and why they were presented as they were and what they mean today. And the tie-ins are there, and they're very obvious if you just pay attention to them. And I find those segments very intriguing, and I think at the right age, students will as well, whether it be middle school or into high school, very appropriate to get this in front of them.
Yes, I agree. You got to start them young.
Yeah. And with the program that you guys have, and again, remind me what it's called, with the cartoon type.
Yeah, American History Live.
Okay. That's great for the younger kids, especially going to get their attention. And that interaction, I think, is going to be key to them develop an interest in this.
Yes. Yeah.
How tough is it to put that in these school systems? I know you said easier in homeschool or maybe private or charter
schools. It's just getting approval. I mean, teachers are stressed out now with all the testing and mandates that they have to do. So to find time to squeeze us in to get approval from the principal, to get approval from the superintendent, it all depends on whether the superintendent and the schools, and most of them, to us anyways, mm-hmm. are reluctant to add another
element. Yeah. It's about saving our kids, maybe more importantly, saving the country. And we'll close it up when we continue in moments here on the Florida News Network.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Ever feel like your plants are giving you the silent treatment? At Quality Green Specialists, we speak fluent garden. We offer the best organic-based plant nutrition products and the most comprehensive soil and plant tissue testing service. Plus, our nursery is full of ornamentals, flowers, and over 50 varieties of fruiting trees and plants. Visit QualityGreenSpecialist.com or come see us at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Quality Green Specialists, top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a night dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call 800-830-0715. That's 800-830-0715. Again, 800-830-0715.
Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up the Florida Roundtable for this weekend, Larry Sanford with us from the American Security Council Foundation, talking education, communism, our kids, our country, and he is with the American Security Council Foundation, the website, ascf.us, so more information available for you there. Larry, as we look at this, let's talk about the organization, what your goals are, where you're, the things you're planning to do down the road.
Well, our mission, again, is to educate and engage Americans on issues of national security, economic security, and moral leadership.
Okay.
And the way I'm looking at next year, 2026, I'm going to be spending a little more time on the moral leadership angle. I think we're in a cultural area that needs to be improved. I
mean, seems like they're under attack all the time.
Yeah. Culture leads to the civilization. So if you have a culture based on American civilization of liberty and freedom, that forms a civilization. If you have an organization based on Marxism, if your culture is Marxist, then you can have a Marxist government.
Sure.
And so same with the Islam. If you're a firm believer in Islam, you're going to have an Islamic government and civilization. So culture matters. And so I think it's important that we emphasize the beauty of our civilization, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Sure.
Every individual is created equal by our creator. And that's our mission, is to educate Americans on that.
I do a segment every morning on my local show. It's called In a Handbasket. And it deals with the social issues in this country. I think you're right that those social issues are so important, because how we handle those is how we develop as a society and what we're going to become, what we, I don't want to use the word allow, but what develops in a society is where we're going. And if we see it in the wrong direction, something happens to happen to turn it around.
Yes, and the U.S. is semi-socialist now. Look at Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So we have all sorts of social programs. The Wall Street Journal had an article this morning about the massive amount of money that's going, but not reported on the income, to the lower-income people. So thousands of dollars dispersed to lower-income people, but it's not reported as income. So we're subsidizing lower-income people. And the welfare system is generating, how many children now are born out of wedlock?
It's hard to tell.
And that's not good for the children. It's not good for society to have all these children with no fathers. And that's one of the big problems in the black community, is they don't have fathers floating around to support the children.
I can't think of where I'd have been without the influence of my father. And other men in our community, those coaches and teachers that we talked about back in the 60s and 70s, that made a big difference.
Yeah, look at the most successful ethnic groups in America are not white. They're East Asian, Indian, and Chinese, and they're all strong families. They have fathers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue of our civilization, I think, is the breakup of family. So it's not a racial thing here in America and the economic disparity. It's the cultural.
Yeah. That's why the social and cultural things are so important, why it's so important to teach this history of communism that we're talking about, and to see where education goes at that point. Again, ascf.us, Peace Through Strength, the idea, the American Security Council Foundation. Good luck on the continuing mission, Larry, and I hope you can get these programs up and running, that you guys have some influence in what goes on into this curriculum for these kids in the 26-27 school year. Thanks again for your time and for coming in today.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Of course, we will catch you again next weekend. We're marching into a Florida legislative session. That'll be part of where we're going. Chris Miro, political analyst, joins us next week here on the Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Meek, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.